But Pastor Richmond, he has a pretty wide range of ministry experience, which I think will be a blessing to us. And I don't know all of the lengths of your service, but I know he served for many, many years as a congregational pastor. But then about the time I was entering into ministry, I became acquainted with him, and it was even before I was in the AFLC. But he became the director of a new ministry that was beginning called East European Missions Network. And I think when I first heard of Pastor Richmond, he was helping to raise funds to start a Bible school over in, what country was that? The Tartu Bible Academy.
Tartu, Estonia.
Estonia, there you go. I couldn't remember country, but over there in Eastern Europe. And he served in that capacity for many years. And now he also serves on the board of Lutherans for Life, a great ministry that, again, promotes the fact that life comes from God, and we are called as his people to protect that. And so he has a lot of great things to share with us, and you can tell us some more about yourself, but let's welcome Pastor Don Richmond.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Pastor. Thank you for having me. Pastor Kent, thank you so much for inviting me to share with your people today. Some of you may remember I have been here before a time or two, and I'm very grateful to God to be able to be back with you again. And your Pastor Kent shared a little bit about my story. I do come from a place called Tower City, and you go right through there on the way to Fargo or Points East. I grew up there with a family of seven boys and two girls, and my brother stayed on the home farm just northeast of Tower City for many years. When he retired, now his son is on the home farm. So we have pretty deep roots in that part of the country, and very grateful to God for the experiences we had there. I understand that you have people of German-Russian descent here in this congregation. How many wie viel sind in sie sind deutsch oder hat der deutsche Stamm? How many of you come from? Ach so, ja, dann gibt es viele Leute. Schön, yeah, very nice. Good to see that. I love getting into German-Russian congregations. Actually, I think some of you come. We used to call it, used to be part of Russia, now it is Ukraine, down in the southern part of Ukraine, near Odessa. Don't anybody recognize the name Odessa? Okay, yeah, some of you come from that area. There are still Germans there. I go there to work from time to time, and very grateful for that experience. By the way, speaking of that, I still work. I am kind of what they call a past president of East European Missions Network. And we have some magazines from that ministry and invite you to pick up one and would cordially invite you to pray for our ministry there. When you stop to think of it, it is a miracle that communism had such a grip, had such total control of that whole part of the world, and all of a sudden they were removed from the scene. And obviously in Russia, and we keep hearing about that, they still have control, although it's no longer communists in Russia. It's more of a Russian government would tilt toward the left, would tilt toward a lot of authoritarianism, authority, strength, and power of the government, but it is no longer communism as we used to know it. And interestingly enough, a lot of activity on the farms over there in Russia and other parts of Eastern Europe. I wish I had time. Maybe later on we'll talk to you about farming over there, because like me, many of you came from farms here in North Dakota, and a lot of people are interested in that. So please feel free to pick up one of these brochures on Eastern Europe, and feel free to ask questions. Tonight, we are going to be talking about a problem, a kind of a problem, which actually originated in Russia. The whole issue of abortion, the taking of unborn life. And that is actually very meaningful to me, even more so, because just about two and a half weeks ago, we had a little granddaughter born to us. Mother was, 50, I think she's 57 years old, but here comes this beautiful little granddaughter. We are very thankful to God for her, born a bit prematurely, but nevertheless a healthy baby girl. And so the gift of life, the gift of conception and development of life is so very important. And one of the things I want to highlight, I get into a lot of different congregations, a lot of different places, and because abortion and those kinds of things had become so accepted, there may be people in a variety of congregations who have had that experience. And I'll go into that more tonight to share that there is only one solution in dealing with that, and that is the cross of Jesus. I'm going to be telling the stories of people who have experienced the hardness and the pain that came from abortion, but how they found healing and renewal at the foot of the cross. Then the next day, we're going to talk about another very crucial issue in our country and actually in the Western world, and that's called homosexuality. We'll be looking at what the Scripture says on that, and we'll be looking also in the same way at the cross, because there is the only hope and redemption. So I invite you to come back, to bring friends, if you would, and to, as we learn together how to deal with these crucial issues that are tearing apart our society and in many cases tearing apart families. But there is a solution, and that solution is at the foot of the cross. So thank you for being here. And thank you, Pastor, for inviting me, allowing me to be with you here today and these days. And I look forward to fellowship, look forward to getting acquainted with some of you personally. And I will be available. If anyone would like to talk personally with me, let your pastor know. He can tell me, and I'm only about a block away, so I can come over and meet you here at any time. So, thank you. Our scripture today is actually the one you just heard from the Gospels. And let me read that again, John 15:5, where Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. And he who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. But if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch, dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me, my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." And then reading from Colossians chapter 1, "For he," that is God, that is Jesus, "rescued us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins." Lord God, this is your word. Speak to us, show us your way, enable us, encourage us by the power of your Holy Spirit and the truth of your word. Give us courage, Lord, to serve you and to be open to however you call us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to tell you a story, a true story. I used to be a missionary in Brazil. I worked with a lot of German Lutherans who had gone to Brazil, set themselves up there, and who became very progressive and hardworking people, which, by the way, was true of a lot of those Germans who had gone to Russia. So after what was about 12 years of work in Brazil, we came back to America, and I started out pastoring in a church in Jamestown, North Dakota, after coming back from Brazil. After we had been there for about a year, we decided, and I was kind of in charge of young people, we were going to go up to the Red Willow Bible Camp for a weekend retreat, probably the latter part of November. And we had gotten started, and I noticed at the very beginning there was about that much ice on the lake, Red Willow Lake. And so right away in the morning, I cautioned these children, and some were older, like mid-high school years and so on. I said, do not go out on the lake. The ice is very thin, it is treacherous, and it is dangerous. Oh, Pastor, we'd never do that. Wouldn't you know? Just after lunch, somebody comes running in. Pastor, Pastor, a bunch of kids went out in the lake and they've fallen through. So I got one of the counselors, college guy, and we ran down to the lake, and I saw a little flat-bottom duck boat sitting there by the side of the lake. I said, well, we better take this along just in case we too fall in. So pulling that little flat-bottom duck boat along, we ran out into the lake, and I suppose we were out, 50, 75 feet, and guess what happened? We went down just like that. Well, there was something about the cold water. And to this day, I don't know how, but I shot up out of that water like a rocket, back in the boat. And we're pushing that boat, trying to get back up on the ice and get out and rescue those kids. But what happened? The boat turned over. Now we were in a second time. No way out. We tried to get back up on the ice, but the ice would break, so we couldn't get back to shore. Finally, one of the counselors found a rope with a life-saving ring on it. They were able to throw that rope out to us. It reached us, and I let the other guy said, Wayne, you go first. He grabbed it, and they pulled him in. He was rescued. They threw it out again. I grabbed onto that life ring, and wouldn't you know, it broke. So I held onto the rope with my hands. And by this time, we had been in the water probably close to half an hour, and I was literally freezing on the outside. So I hold the rope. They pulled me up over the edge and slid me in over the ice, got up a steep bank, probably about as high as that sign over there, threw me into the ambulance, and everybody was kind of panicky. So what do? They throw me in on top of the other guy. And they took us to the lodge, put us in front of the fire. And I found out what it is to be thawed out. It stung. I was in terrible pain as we began to thaw out from that fire. The end result was that the two of us, were saved, and somehow they had made up a sort of a human chain and were able to reach out and get all of the kids. So everybody was saved. And I think back on that experience, I realize that we could not have saved ourselves. We depended on somebody else reaching out to us. And that is really the story of salvation for us. That we cannot save ourselves. Somebody has to throw the rope and eventually pull us in. And that is, of course, the rope for us is Jesus. Where God throws out the rope of eternal life. And when we lay a hold of that, and as a matter of fact, the interesting part of it is, we don't even have the wisdom or strength to lay a hold of him. But he lays a hold of us, holds on to us, and he rescues us. And as the scripture says here, he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so the rescue in deep water or on an icy lake is a metaphor. It is a picture of what God has done for us. Now, I realize that not everybody accepts and understands this. I know of a young, well, she's not so young anymore, a woman who all her life went faithfully to the little Lutheran church in their community. She played the organist, was a very good organist, very faithful. But I ask her the question, do you have eternal life? What do you think she says? I don't know. Or no, I don't. Or maybe I do. You see, that points to the issue of salvation. Actually, during the Sunday school hour, we're going to get into that in a little more detail. But the point of the issue is that only when we are pointed to Jesus are we able to get off out of the thin ice upon which we live. As he said in Isaiah chapter 59, he said, your sins have caused a separation between you and your God. Separation. Caused by sin. That the holy God could not stand in the presence of a sinful human being if they come on their own, in their own merits. He cannot be. And so the sin has caused a separation between us and God. And as the Apostle Paul put it, sin came through one man, and death through sin. Death spread to all, because all men sin. Death spread to all, because all men sin. And that's not only physical death, the cessation of the beat of the heart. That is eternal death, eternal separation from the living God. And so, that's why we needed someone to rescue us, just like I needed someone to rescue me and my fellow counselor from Red Willow Lake in that ice. So we are rescued by redemption because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are not able to make it on our own. We will not. We are rescued by a redeemer, a rescuer, who throws out not a rope, but his own physical self to grasp us by his nail-pierced hand and to rescue us and redeem us. Maybe somebody has experienced, maybe in the not-too-distant past, the pressure of guilt. I remember one time I was traveling and stopped at a I was spending a little time in this little town. Went into a restaurant, only three of us there, another couple and myself. I got talking with them. We had a long conversation, a good conversation. And finally came time to get up and leave. They go up and go to the counter and to pay the bill, their bill. And wouldn't you know, somehow I forgot I was in a restaurant, walked out without paying the bill. Now, then the waitress comes after me and, trying to be very gentle, invites me to come back and pay my bill. And I apologize profusely. How could I be so stupid and completely forget to pay the bill? But I was. So I asked for forgiveness. The next day I thought, well, yeah, that waitress is going to think, well, sure, he got caught. That's why he's asking for forgiveness. So I went back and had another meal there and left a note of explanation. And again, apologizing, asking for forgiveness. But it reminded me, that whole incident reminded me of how easy it is to forget very fundamental things like paying our bill. It was interesting, a short time after that, I was talking with another friend and still feeling a little bit raw from that. He says, oh yeah, I've done that a couple of times myself. I got out of town about 12 miles before I remembered that I hadn't paid the bill and had to turn around and come back and pay the bill. Well, what does that point to? It points to the reality that yes, we can sin, we can fail, and yes, even as a Christian, the Holy Spirit puts on my heart that I had made a mistake, that I had failed, and I felt the pressure of guilt. I had failed there. But interestingly, even though I had failed, I realized I am a child of the living God. That Jesus has stretched out his hand and redeemed me. I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when I make a mistake like that, what do? I go back, I ask for forgiveness, and I know that all sin is put on the cross. As he says in 2 Corinthians 5, that God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that in him we might have the righteousness of God. Think of that. God took my sin and laid it on the sinless one, the person of Jesus. He takes my sin. He takes the punishment that I deserved when he died on the cross. And in exchange, he gives me his righteousness. And so I am covered with his righteousness. Yes, I may forget and fail to pay a bill, and I ask for forgiveness from a fellow human being, but I am still covered by the blood of Jesus. As in 1 Peter he puts it, Christ took our sin in his body on the tree. Or 1 Peter 3:18, Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. Why? Why? That he might bring us to God. That he might bring us to God. What a heritage we have of knowing that he did the work. He pulled us out of the lake of sin and death. He rescued us from the domain of darkness. and gave us the gift of eternal life. So that, as the Apostle Paul says, that in him, or in whom, we have redemption. Not maybe have, but in Jesus we have redemption. And so that is the great message of the gospel. And when we're dealing with issues like we will be dealing with tonight or tomorrow and throughout the week, how good it is to know there is a cross. There is a Savior to whom we can run. A Savior who holds us, who rescues us from the domain of darkness, like we were rescued from the icy water of Red Willow Lake. So with that, I leave you. Tonight we'll start out by telling about what it is to live in relationship. Tonight we will be talking about the reality of redemption, the reality of forgiveness. For those who have maybe experienced the pain and the pangs of guilt that comes from having killed our own children. And what a gospel story we have, that even with that, we can talk about the cross, about the one who rescues us from the domain of darkness, transfers us, puts us into his kingdom. What a joy it is to be part of the kingdom of God and to have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Or to be able to say, as he did in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. You are a branch attached to the living vine, which is Christ Jesus. And because of that, because you're attached, we can bear fruit, and a fruit that will abide in Christ Jesus forever. Lord God, Heavenly Father, all we can do, Lord, is say thank you that you have done this for us. Bless us, Lord. Help us to be faithful in the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness for our sins, for overcoming our failures, of which there are many, and using us as your servants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.